الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، فاطمة بضعة مني، فمن أبغضها أبغضني. The film The Lady of Heaven has become the cause of much discussion of many Muslim households in the world today. Indeed, whether you're living in London, or living in Iraq, you're living in Toronto, or living in Karachi, you'll find that the film has brought about a number of discussions in the households, especially because of its relationship and its portrayal of Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullahu wa salamuhu alayha. The film therefore highlights the power of the media as being the medium by which we gain knowledge in the world today. Because the reality is that this generation is not necessarily a generation of readers. You find when a gadget or a machine is given to you which reads for you, it highlights that this generation, even within the Muslim community, prefers to learn by the visual rather than by the print. As then we know very well that there are many in the Muslim community who may not have picked up a book about a certain part of Islamic history or Islamic theology, or for example, Islamic law or Islamic ethics. But when it's portrayed, for example, in a film in the cinemas, or it's portrayed on Netflix, then it becomes a lot easier to digest. One only has to look, for example, at Ertugrul. Ertugrul now is being watched by millions around the world. People go on Netflix and are ready to look at episode after episode, maybe hundreds of episodes, because they're not going to pick up a book which portrays the Ottoman Empire. They're not going to look at a book, for example, 500, 600 pages about the Ottoman Empire. But when there's a film about the Ottoman Empire available on Netflix, then many Muslims are going to watch this, because for them, they recognize that that's an empire of the empires of the 1,400-year history of the religion of Islam. There are actors involved. The scenes are easier to digest. The visual is much easier to digest than, for example, a dense book. And that's why you find so many who are watching it. Because when they're able then to watch this on Netflix, they're able to relate. They're able to understand the Ottoman Empire. They're able to understand the narrative that's being given. At the same time, that narrative is not one that they have to accept. As in, I can watch Ertugrul, for example, without being forced to accept the narrative that's being portrayed of the Ottoman Empire. I can look at it, I can see the effects, I can see what portrayal is being given, and I can either at the end agree to agree with whatever's being given to me, or I could agree to disagree. As in, no one's forcing me that I have to agree with the whole portrayal. I may find a certain part of it where I see, for example, a wonderful examination of a certain period in that empire, and I might find other parts of the whole depiction as something that I disagree with. But the main point is that there is something which is available on that period which you're able to watch. Likewise, for example, when the film on Maryam alayhi salam was made, the film on Sayyida Maryam alayhi salam allowed a lot of us to relate more to Mary alayhi salam than maybe we had before. If I showed you, for example, Surah Maryam in the Quran, and I began to discuss with you about what Maryam says, what Zakaria said, what, for example, Nabi Yahya said, what her son Nabi Isa said, you may listen to the verses from the Quran, but you won't relate to it the way you related when the film was made. Because when the film was made about Sayyida Maryam alayhi salam, you found a lot more of us were able to relate to her, able to relate to her life, able to relate to her struggles, able to relate, for example, to the trials that she faced when she had to announce that as a virgin, she has given birth to this baby boy. When we therefore looked at the film clearly has a major effect on our understanding of that particular personality. And that's why it's no surprise that whether it's Ertugrul, whether it's Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, whether it's Sayyida Maryam alayhi salam, whether it's a film on Mukhtar al-Thaqafi, whether it's a film, for example, or a documentary or a series like the one that was done a few years ago in the holy month of Ramadan on Umar ibn al-Khattab, or if it's something on Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi, or it's something on Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi, Muslims have recognized that the best way to get their portrayal or their narrative across to the masses is by making a film, or by, for example, ensuring or establishing that a documentary or a series can be watched. That's why this film, The Lady of Heaven, is so intriguing for many of us. Because for many of us, for years, if ever we have asked for one thing, it is that we have always wanted a film on Karbala. Do you agree? As in every single household in the Shi'i world, you'll find at one stage or another, would have seen a film like Gladiator and said we had the best gladiator. Would have seen a film like Last Samurai, we would have said we had the best samurai, the king of the samurais. Would have seen other films such as Braveheart, and you wondered, is there ever a possibility one day that we could have a film which is made, which depicts what happened in Karbala? We tried, and there are people who have tried. But now right in front of us, we have a film about the lady who is the very base of Karbala, the mother of the martyrs, and the mother of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullah wa salamu alayha. When we therefore have this film, when the trailer was released, you cannot but come forward and state that many of us were intrigued when we saw the trailer. Even some people would tell you that they had goosebumps when they saw the trailer. As in a person with all of their stereotypes, with all their prejudices, their love eventually for Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam comes out when they see a trailer that looks like something has been professionally made. For once I could look at something and say that in the same way I'm looking at Ertugrul, I could also have something depicting Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. So at the beginning, as soon as the trailer came out, you had many people who were excited. Then all of a sudden, within our community, a group emerges and different discussions emerge. And of course, everybody has their right to posit their opinion. At the end of the day, like we said with Ertugrul, you could either agree with that depiction of the Ottoman Empire or disagree. You as a Shi'i may have grievances with the Ottoman Empire. Doesn't mean you're going to deny that something good may emerge from that particular depiction. You find that some people now are asking the question that do we support such a film or not? We love Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, but we recognize that Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam's life, especially towards the end, is one where there are trials and there are tribulations. There are periods of sensitivity. There are moments where the main figures in the history of Islam may have a difference of opinion with each other. Do we allow the whole world to look at what happened or not? Is it right for us, or do we have the freedom to allow the world to see to what happened to Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam? Or should we remain in the background and not discuss this? Because this seems to be what is the base of not only a slanging match between certain groups in the Shi'i community, but also it seems to be the base of the confusion at the moment. I love Fatima al-Zahra. I remember her every year. I remember her good times, but I also remember her difficulties. And now there's a film that has been produced, a film that has been directed, a film that's available for everybody to watch. But do I support this film or not? Especially if the people behind the film are people who I may not necessarily agree with all their opinions. Because, you know, in the Muslim community, we do sometimes have this issue where we don't look at who's speaking. What we do is we don't look at what they're saying. We look at who's speaking. Isn't that true? So, for example, when there's someone giving a lecture, you have this thing sometimes in the Muslim community. It doesn't matter if the lecture's great. I don't like him. Okay, but do you admit that the lecture was a lecture that benefited you? Yeah, but I don't like him. That, in a way, has been an impediment for us in our growth as Muslims. Because on the one hand, we talk of freedom of speech, we talk of no compulsion. But on the other, if we're a groupie of someone, we cannot stand another. We cannot accept a plethora of opinions or a plethora of worldviews. And therefore, when we look at this film, you'll find that there are some, irrespective of what their opinion is and their love is for Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, will look at it and straight away say, the fact that I know certain people are associated with this film means there's no way I'm going to support it. Okay, but what if what the film is portraying is something that you believe in? Are we allowed, are we able to separate our personal opinions on somebody from their narrative or their portrayal of someone we admire highly? Okay, so this becomes a psychological issue even within the Muslim community. And hence back and forth you find in this Fatimiyya period, there are people who are asking this question. Can we watch this film or can't we? Should we support this film or shouldn't we? Are we allowed to do this or are we not? Let us tonight examine the very discussions concerning this film, and I'd like to do this in the following stages. Number one, why is it of the utmost importance that we finally have a film about the life of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam? And why do I underline the word life more than necessarily the word death of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam? Number two, this film, when it discusses what happened to Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, is it based on authentic evidence? As in, is there evidence in Islamic history that there was a confrontation between Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, Abu Bakr and Umar? Or is it that this is something which is just blatantly made up? Number three, if there is evidence in Islamic history, is it only in Shi'i literature or is it in the literature of other schools in Islam? Number four, if it's only in Shi'i literature, and if it is in within Shi'i literature, is it just one book that discusses this? Or was it a number of books and also a number of scholars who have discussed this? Number five, what if I look at this film and think that there's a sectarian edge that may emerge? How do we look at the parameters of sectarian and how do we look at it in our context today? Number six, what if the person who's produced this film or directed this film is someone I have a difference of opinion with? Can I therefore watch the film or does it become a sin for me to watch such a film? And who dictates what is a sin to be watched and what is not sinful? And then further than that, can I turn around and begin to accuse that any film that looks at a certain controversial segment of Islamic history must be MI5 and CIA? Or is it that I, as a Shi'i, can at least come to a conclusion and come to funding such films? And finally, how important is it that we make clear our relationship with Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, whether it is through the medium of film or the medium of majalis? And what do some of us believe about her presence even when her son's name is remembered? Let's examine this and dissect this topic in complete depth. When we come to the first point and of the utmost importance, why is it important to have a film on Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam? There are a number of reasons it's important to have a film on Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. The first reason, without a doubt, is that we make clear what our conception is of Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam. Because you know very well that the conception of non-Shia when it comes to Fatima is different from our conception of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Non-Shia, when it comes to Fatima, say yes. Fatima, for example, alayha salam, is one of the four women of paradise. You always hear this, that there are four women of Jannah. Either you hear the name of Asiya, or you hear the name of Maryam, or you hear the name of Khadija, or you hear the name of Fatima. Other schools in Islam will tell you that we love Fatima al-Zahra. Why? We love Fatima because of her association to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. What do I mean? You see, you can love a person for two reasons. Either association or merit. Non-Shia's admiration of Fatima tends more to be because of her association too, rather than her merit. What do I mean? If you ask many non-Shia, how do you view Fatima al-Zahra? Fatima al-Zahra is the daughter of Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, no, okay. But what's so great about her? Don't tell me whose daughter she is. Don't tell me whose wife she is. Don't tell me whose granddaughter she is. Non-Shia, in their conception of Fatima, their love of Fatima is more related to what? More related to the fact that she's the daughter of the Prophet. If you ask them, tell me about Fatima in terms of knowledge. Tell me about Fatima in terms of spirituality. Tell me about the mystical nature of Fatima. Tell me about Fatima's theological understanding and her discussions. You'll find that non-Shia, their conception of Fatima is a very basic conception. You can't make a film from it. Because the conception of Fatima, if I was a non-Shia, the way I would look at Fatima, I would not make a film from it. There's nothing special. Fatima is the daughter of Muhammad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi loved his daughter, and therefore we love her. If you look at the difference between their admiration of Fatima and the admiration of Aisha, the admiration of Aisha in non-Shia, you can make not one film. You can make 15 films about it, not one. And I have no problem if they made 15 films about Aisha, the wife of the Prophet. Why? Because I want you to tell the world about Aisha. Make a film about Aisha. Make a film discussing, for example, Aisha and Surah At-Tahrim, Surah 66 of the Quran. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi divulged, when he gave a secret to his wife Hafsa, she went and told Aisha, and Surah 66 discusses the whole issue about how they plotted with that secret behind the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Make a film about Aisha fighting Imam Ali alayhi salam. Go out there, make that film. I have no problem with it. Because we live in a world where the media is free. I would love to read a biography of Aisha, because you tell me that half of my religion I'm meant to take from Aisha. So look at the conception of Fatima in Sunni thought versus Fatima in Shi'i thought. Fatima in Sunni thought is what? Is the daughter of the Prophet, admirable in the sense that she's one of the women of Jannah, nothing more. You want knowledge, you go to Aisha. You want bravery, you go to Aisha. You want leadership, you go to Aisha. And wallah, I have no problem if a person made 700 part episodes on the life of Aisha. On the contrary, I would prefer it. I would prefer if you would discuss openly the biography of Aisha. Discuss openly that Aisha was a lady who fought the Khalifa of her time. And she was a lady who fought the Imam of her time. And she was a lady who fought companions at the Battle of Jamal. We need films like this. So therefore, on the first level, why do we need a film on Fatima Zahra? Because the Shi'i conception of Fatima, you can make a great impact with a film. On which way? On the first way, that for us, Fatima al-Zahra is great, not just because she's the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. You think that Fatima al-Zahra is great because she's the daughter of the Prophet? I'm not going to deny that in some of our majalis, you'll hear a Mawlana say, do you know who Fatima is? She's the wife of Imam Ali. She is the daughter of Rasulullah. Okay. But you being the wife of or the daughter of, you can end up poisoning the man who you're married to if he's holy. Imam al-Hassan, his own wife, poisoned him. So what do I say? She's great because she's the wife of? For me as a Shi'i, Fatima is Fatima. I don't look at Fatima because she's the daughter of or the wife of. Yes, without a doubt, being associated with such personalities, if you take advantage of it, you become great. But for me, Fatima is great because Fatima is ilm. Fatima is hikmah. Fatima is knowledge. Fatima is wisdom. Fatima is ibadah. Fatima is worship. Fatima is the meaning of ma'rifah of the imam of the time. So for me, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, in wife, great. Daughter, great. Mother, great. Servant of Islam, great. Knowledge of the Quran, great. Therefore, I need a film on Fatima made on the first level, because the real Fatima will come out in such a film. The real Fatima. Not a Fatima who I respect just because she's the daughter of. Wallah, I've met people in the Muslim world who are not Shia. You ask them, why do you love Hassan and Hussein? Oh, they're the grandchildren of Rasulullah. No. Forget that they're the grandchildren. Why do you love them? What impact have they left? They're the grandchildren. Okay, we got the point. They're related to the Prophet. But what impact in knowledge? What impact in spirituality? The first reason, we need a film on the life of Fatima. Because you know, this film, The Lady of Heaven, is not a film just about the death. Many of us are fighting a battle without understanding a point. This film is not just, okay, there's a lady, she's born, let's fast forward 18 years to how she died. This film is going to show you the development of Fatima, the growth of Fatima, I would think. Because when I'm looking at the trailer, I can't say I've seen the film. But this film is going to show you the life of Fatima. It only becomes controversial if for 1 hour, 45 minutes, all we're talking about is the end of the life of Fatima. But within the film, we're going to see the growth of Fatima. How does Fatima, the orphan at the age of 5, survive trials and tribulations? How is she a backbone to her father and her husband at the beginning of the religion of Islam? And then from there, we begin to see the trials that Fatima went through. Like Maryam went through, like Khadija went through, like Asiya went through. So therefore, on the first level, the film is important because for once, the Shi'i conception of Fatima emerges. Not a basic conception, she's the daughter of, she was young, she was a young girl, but rather Fatima, the role model. On the second level, why is it important? In gender studies in the world today, when you discuss feminism, isn't there always a discussion about the need for women to have their political rights, to have their rights of ownership of property, to have the rights of inheritance, to have the rights to be educated? Wallah, there are ladies who are discussed in gender studies program when it comes to great female archetypes of feminism. But why is it that nobody discusses Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam when it comes to these areas? Who is it that stood up for the rights of property that you are inheriting and has been confiscated from you just because you're a female like Fatima al-Zahra with Fedak? And by the way, I'm coming to these in the coming nights. Don't worry. You wear your seatbelt and enjoy the next few nights. Fatima al-Zahra, for example, in Fedak, in terms of property, confiscation, rights of ownership, knowledge, Fatima al-Zahra and the knowledge that she had, Fatima al-Zahra and education, Fatima al-Zahra in all of these areas that gender studies program discussed today, Fatima and property, Fatima and inheritance, Fatima and political rights, Fatima and education. A film on Fatima allows the doors to be open on all of these areas. Therefore, for me, when I look at why a film on Fatima has to be done, it's because for years as Shia, we've been sitting saying, when are we going to have a film which people can watch? When are we going to have a film which people can watch? When the film comes out, suddenly you find people jumping up and down. What do they say? They say that, you know what? This film is not authentic. It's not going to show authentic. Wait, let's have a look at this. This film, The Lady of Heaven, and the discussion of the life and the martyrdom of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, is it based on authentic sources or not? As in, is there in Islamic literature clearly a confrontation that's taken place between Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, Abu Bakr and Umar? When I'm saying all of this, there might be some people out there, Shia or non-Shia, who don't believe that there is an authentic base to this confrontation. There may be some non-Shia who prefer not to believe. Forget reading it. They prefer not to believe. Why? Because it's difficult for them, having grown up respecting certain personalities, for them to suddenly hear that there is a confrontation between X, Y, and Z. It could happen to us as well if we revered someone for many years and then suddenly someone tells you something about them.
It's hard for you to stomach. And so what happens is, you may await for someone who may come to you with an argument, for example, by saying that these Shia are just chatting nonsense. And there's no such thing that Fatima al-Zahra and Umar had an argument. And Umar threatened to burn the house of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. And that Abu Bakr, Fatima was angry with him by the time that she died. There are some who'll say that this is all Shi'i nonsense. It has no base. Mind you, there are also some Shia. Why go far? There are some Shia who, when this film came out, you know what they were saying? Why are you talking about people who were close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? How dare you speak about them? You shouldn't speak about them. And also, how do we know that all of this took place? Okay, no problem. There are some who may come from a pure heart and saying things like that. And there are others who wish that such a thing did not happen, because their friends who are not Shia will not get unhappy with them. And their husband or their wife who's not Shia will be a bit calmer at home. And therefore, what's the best thing for them to do? To say that, you know, these films, The Lady of Heaven, talk about the martyrdom of Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, it's not authentic. Not authentic? Not authentic? Let's look at whether it's authentic or no. First, let me look at whether there was ever a threat to burn the house of Fatima. I, who is a fallible human being, insignificant human beings, a human being who has committed sins, my most beloved that I have, I would not imagine going to burn their house. Imagine I have the intention one day that I know that's the house of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. May Allah take my life away if I ever even threatened the house of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. In non-Shi'i literature, you can find a sahih hadith that clearly shows that Umar threatens to burn the house of Fatima. Non-Shi'i literature. I'll give you a reference. All of you can Google it from now till the morning. And then the hujjah has been given to you, but it's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you decide you're going to do on the Day of Judgment. Understand one thing for me as a Shi'i, I don't wake up randomly one morning deciding that I'm not going to like certain people. That's not me. I look at Islamic history, then I come to a conclusion. There is a book called The Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shaybah. Ibn Abi Shaybah died 235 after Hijrah. The threat to burn the house of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, the base of a lot of our discussion of this film, that happened 11 after Hijrah. Musannaf, Ibn Abi Shaybah, Ibn Abi Shaybah died 235 after Hijrah. Someone might say, Sayyidina, that's like 200 years after the event took place. Don't worry. 200 years, according to us in Islamic history and literature, is a very good time period for narrating an event. Certain people decided to ban the publishing and writing of Islamic literature in the early days until the end of the Umayyad. So, therefore, 200 years later is not a problem. Ibn Abi Shaybah is not Shia. He has a text called the Musannaf. One may say it's earlier than Bukhari and Muslim. In the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shaybah, he narrates a hadith. This hadith is not a Shi'i hadith. For a person to say, how dare you say that Umar ibn al-Khattab threatened to burn the house of Fatima. And the chain of this hadith, because people, their life is based on chains. Everything, where's the isnad, what's the chain? Is it sahih? Is it not? And most people don't even know what sahih means. But no problem, let's say sahih. Is this isnad sahih of this particular narration that I'm about to give you? The isnad is sahih. And you see the narration from Zayd, from his father Aslam, who is the slave of Umar, the freed slave of Umar. Sometimes you see the Mawla of Umar. That what is the narration saying? It says that Umar ibn al-Khattab, upon hearing that Imam Ali and Zubair, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, were confiding with Fatima after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi died and Saqifah happened, and I'm coming to Saqifah inshallah tomorrow. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi died, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Zubair were all in the house. And they would confide in Fatima. Umar comes towards the house and he says, listen to the wording, O daughter of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon his family. He mentions how nobody was more beloved to him than her father, and how nobody is more loving to him than the daughter. But that is not enough of an assurance for you that if they continue and you continue to gather in this house, I will burn the house even if you're within it. I am allowed to bring this in up in Islamic history. Even if I bring it up, people will jump at you. I cannot make this into a film because I'm using a book that's 1,200 years old. A book that's not even my literature. This book, the Musannaf, is not a hujjah on me. But when you come and say, whether you're Shia or you're not Shia, when you come and say that this is all nonsense, this hadith's chain is sahih. There are a number, from Dr. Shatri to others, who have done tahqiq of this chain, and they say the chain is sahih. Do you want me to reveal to you just how dangerous this particular hadith is? I've seen this hadith being discussed or being narrated in other books or even on TV. Do you know what I've seen people do with this hadith? O daughter of the Prophet, nobody is more beloved to you. Nobody was more beloved to me than your father. And nobody is more loving to me than you. And then after that, it says, he said, kada wa kada. He said, so and so. Baba, what's kada wa kada? If you're narrating a tradition, why don't you finish the narration? Unless you want to cover Umar's next words of, I'll burn the house of Fatima. Sometimes you'll see that same narration. O daughter of the Prophet, nobody is more beloved to me than your father. And nobody is more loving to me than you. And I will act and I will act. Act what? What are you going to act? Doesn't mention the burning. Then you'll see another tradition where at the bottom of that same narration, it says, فيه قصة. There's a story to what was said. What's the story? Habibi, why on this hadith do you mention the good things he says to Fatima, but the part about burning, you mention, and then he said so and so and so and so. Say it. Be open. What's wrong with you? Why is it that you're worried about telling the world that the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, at the age of 18, they threatened to burn her house? Why? Why? What's wrong? You talk about when a Muslim child in the Middle East, people pelt him with stones or burn their houses. You talk openly about that and how all of us should campaign for those innocent children who are being oppressed. But the first innocent child who was oppressed, all of us remain silent on. That hadith, which originally in the Musannaf says that Umar said, I will burn the house of Fatima, later on became, Umar said, you are beloved to me, your father's beloved to me. Kada wa kada. La af'alanna wa af'alanna. Fihi qussa. Why are you not saying the rest of the hadith? Why have you hidden the rest of the hadith? I was in disbelief, my dear brothers and sisters. Wallah. I was in disbelief that when I saw the original hadith, he mentions Umar threatens to burn the door. But then when you look at later scholars, Habibi, inter religion for you, what is it? You could see haq in front of you. A person threatens to burn Fatima's house. And that Fatima is the same Fatima who her father had said, Fatima tu bada'atun minni. Faman abghadaha fa abghadani. Fatima's a part of me. Whoever angers her, angers me. And if you anger Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who in turn are you angering? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you agree? Therefore, the one who angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you take him as a role model? Because I'm tired of people saying, you Shia don't like companions, so and so and so and so. Habibi, if a person has given me scales, that whoever angers Fatima angers me. I see someone saying, I'll burn the house of Fatima. Is it in my book? It's not in my book. It's in the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba. And by the way, I'm just stopping at the Musannaf because of time. Otherwise, I can give you other references. I can go to the Ansab al-Ashraf. I could go to Tabari. I could go to other references which discuss this incident. Now, Do you have to accept this narrative? You don't have to. If you don't want to accept it, you don't have to. You could be non-Shia, Sunni, who has the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shaybah, but not accept this narrative. But don't block me from showing you this narrative in a film. I'm not just randomly bringing a story in a film. I'm showing you something that's in my literature, and I'm telling you that it's in yours as well. Someone Shia might say, yes, it's in our literature, but it's only in Kitab Sulaym. It's not in any other source. The only book where Shahadat al-Zahra is there is only Kitab Sulaym. Therefore, the film, The Lady of Heaven, is only basing it from one Shia source. Only in Kitab Sulaym. Firstly, what's the problem if it's in Kitab Sulaym? Our question mark on the authenticity of Kitab Sulaym? Yes, there's a question mark about the author. I cannot deny. Is he really the author? Did someone like that really exist? I cannot deny. But am I going to question something which is a clear reflection of a current in the middle of the second century? Because Kitab Sulaym bin Qais al-Hilali for us is one of our earliest texts. And within there is the discussion of the martyrdom of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Suddenly I see Shia hearing one clip, all of a sudden jumping. Yes, it's only in Kitab Sulaym. It's not in any other work whatsoever. Not in any other work. It's not discussed anywhere. So Sayyid al-Himyari, if he has poetry on the incident of the door, we don't take it. Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam calling Fatima al-Zahra shahida, we don't take it. The likes of Saduq and the likes of, for example, Tusi, making it clear that there is no difference of opinion on this, we don't take. We don't take al-Karajaki. We don't take Kamil al-Ziyarat. We don't take, for example, others such as Ibn Tawus. We don't take anybody. As soon as someone gives one doubt, for example, where was Imam Ali? How many times you hear that doubt? Where was Imam Ali when his wife? Don't worry, I'm coming to that in the coming nights. Where was Imam Ali when his wife was attacked? Because you should remember the logical conclusion is, if you admit where was Imam Ali, you've got to ask questions about who's just attacked. But anyway, when we come to this area, you saying, is it in Shi'i sources? Of course it is. Sheikh Tusi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless his soul, he makes it clear that in the Talkhis, one of the most important works that we have, that we believe in the incident of the martyrdom of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Therefore, when I look at a film such as this film, The Lady of Heaven, The Lady of Heaven is based on literature from both schools in Islam. In the same way, non-Shi'i schools mention Umar threatened to burn the house of Fatima. And by the way, I'm staying at he threatened, because there are some Shia who'll say to you, look, I believe he threatened, but it doesn't mean he actually did it. As if it's very normal to threaten to burn someone's house. Really normal. You know, I'm going to burn your house. Okay, that means you can't attack the person because he only threatened to burn your house. Someone who threatens to burn your house. There's problems there. Especially if it is the house of the daughter of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, his family. Therefore, when I come to the Lady of Heaven, is there a base of authenticity behind what's being produced? There is. Is there a base within Islamic literature of a confrontation between Umar, Abu Bakr, and Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam? Yes, there is. Therefore, when I make this into a film, don't come and tell me there's no such thing. You have a problem with the people behind the film. No problem. That's your issue. But don't come and make it sound like there was no such incident in the history of the religion of Islam. Because I see certain people who'll come forward and say that, you know what, we shouldn't let such a film come out. Why? Because such a film, when it comes out, it's going to cause sectarian tension. You must have heard this line. That if a film like this, The Lady of Heaven, comes out, it will cause sectarian tension. Can I deny that it will cause sectarian tension? I can't deny. Because there are certain people who for years, there was only one narrative about Islamic history. When the day of media and technology and internet came, that's when they started to have their feathers ruffled a little bit. You see, for years, if I've been controlling the narrative, nobody knows what you are as a Shia. I can make up a story that you as a Shia believe Ali is God. I can make up a story that you as a Shia commit zina with your wives in Majalis and Muharram. You do know this is, there was a book called The 12 Islamic Months in Pakistan. It was published. And that book has that under the title Muharram, it says Muharram this month, da, 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 and then it says, this is when the Shia gather together, switch the lights off in a majlis, they all commit zina with each other. In those days, there's no media, there's no television, there's no internet. So you had a monopoly on what was being said. Now, there's media. internet. Now when we come out and say what we want to say, you can turn around to me and say that you shouldn't be narrating these things. Who are you to set the parameters of sectarianism?
أنت حبيبي, you call Abu Talib a kafir, I have no problem.
Call him a kafir. منّا للصبح. Call Abu Talib a kafir. No, ain't gonna make a difference to me. I know very well Abu Talib controls, owns Jannah. And inshallah, he looks forward to Abu Sufyan and Hind when they come towards whatever they come. So for me, even if you mention Abu Talib, it's not an issue for me. You can attack Abu Talib. You're not being sectarian. Why is it when I want to make a film with my narrative, automatically I as a Shi'i become sectarian? And let's differentiate as well. I am not saying that a Shi'i, because they have this narrative, should go out and insult non-Shi'a. Let me make that clear. There's a difference between belief of people who are non-Shi'a and the people themselves. There are people who are non-Shi'a who are good human beings, who may be not even good, better than some of us. They're not Shi'a, maybe better than some of us. Is my aim when I make such a film for me to go and insult the followers, or is it for me to depict a part of Islamic literature? If I become a person who begins to insult people who follow such narratives, then there's a problem on my side, because that's not the akhlaq of Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi wasalamu alayhim. Someone who follows a particular madhab, I cannot come and condescendingly look at them because of what they've been brought up on. All I could do is I can present our narrative. This is our narrative. If you want to take it, take it. We produced the narrative. You can watch it. If you agree, you agree. And if you disagree, you disagree. Someone says, but Sayyidina, there are maraja who are saying it's a sin to watch this film. Then if you follow the marja, follow him. Follow your marja then. If your marja has written that it's a sin to watch such a film, then follow him. You do his taqlid, do his taqlid. I can refer to my marja as well. I go to my marja. I say, listen, there's a film that's come out. Is it haram for me to watch a film which talks about the martyrdom of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam? Is that haram for me to watch this film? I want to watch it. Is it okay or no? If my marja allows, then I'm going to watch. And if my marja says, no, don't watch a film about the martyrdom of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, then I will listen to the advice of my marja. At the end of the day, when someone keeps forwarding messages everywhere that marja has said you should not watch, why are you suddenly quoting from a marja now who you hardly ever quote from? Yani, all of a sudden you're quoting somebody. There are other maraja. Maybe this marja in his own vision, maybe in his own vision, he believes, and you could see where they're coming from, that maybe there can be tension. That some people might watch it and say, well, you have made the film that's blatantly gone against our narrative, and therefore there may be some tension. You can appreciate someone might say that. You might have a neighbor who you've grown up with, but the moment a film like this comes out, they might have some sort of tension. Your marja gives you a vision, gives you advice. You can follow what he says, or if you follow somebody else and they're not saying anything about it, then you can go ahead and watch. But to then turn around and say that because such a film has been made, that means CIA and MI5 and MI6 are the ones who made that film. And the budget for the film, you know, they say 15 million pounds or something. So that means that that 15 million, MI5 has given. If MI5 is giving 15 million for a film on Fatima, then let us give us more. We want, give us 50 million, we want to make a film on Imam Ali. Give us 100 million, I want to make a film on Imam al-Hussein. Give me 700 million, I want to make a film on Imam al-Sadiq Ali. Because if people are giving away money that easily for aflam on Al Muhammad, then I want to be the first to register for those grants. Because if I'm able to make films about Al Muhammad, and people are just giving out money for you to make films, then why not? Let's have those films. Give us. For love of God, try and be a bit more mature about these issues. Anything that a person disagrees with, MI5, MI6, MI5. Even if I take it a step further, I've seen people who say, you know, this Shirazi, Ayatollah Shirazi, MI6, MI5, CIA. If he is all of those, how is he coaching in Qom so comfortably? You're telling me that a government where they are, if they know someone is an agent for all of these, they're just going to allow him to relax and come like that? Yeah, for the love of God, sometimes a person use your intellect. Somebody is sitting in Qum, enjoying, and to a certain extent, having his sons around him, having students around him, having lectures, having... You're telling me that if he was that, he'd be sitting there in that house. Wallah, we wouldn't see him again. Therefore, some of us as Shia have to wake up and smell the coffee. This is a world where nobody should dictate to you what part of your religion should emerge. As long, inshallah, as I said, I've not seen the film, but as long as the intention is a pure intention and the narrative isn't one which brings condescending language. That's one thing I hope for. Because if it's a film that depicts what I discussed earlier, then it's something to look forward to. Because you're able to pick up the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba, Sahih al-Bukhari. You're able to pick up other pieces of literature, look at them, and see them all in a film. I hope that it's not the type of film that makes jokes about personalities who are revered by others. If you are giving a narrative that you believe in, that's one thing. Don't come to me, inshallah, with jokes about others. Don't come to me with a language that brings down those who are respected by others. I'm fully supportive of someone discussing history. Ertugrul, Ottoman Empire. Mukhtar al-Thaqafi, Nabi Yusuf, Maryam alayhi salam, Ashab al-Kahf. All of us love those films because they depicted a period of history. But why is it when it comes to Fatima, everyone suddenly wants to remain silent? For what reason? What did Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam do wrong to you? For you not to open up about what Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam went through. Yes, there were periods, I would say, the imams of Ahlul Bayt salawatullah wa salam alayhim, there were periods they didn't open up. Because had you even tried to open up even about Fatima al-Zahra's husband, there was a chance that your followers would get oppressed. But now I live in a time where there's no way someone can put a gun to my head and dictate to me what I can watch, what I can't watch. At the end of the day, I can depict a narrative in Islamic history. And I do it with a sincere intention. Intention on the one side, the Quran tells me, I don't ask nothing from you except love for my family. This is an expression of my love for the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on the other side, it's important for me to depict what took place after the Prophet died, peace be upon his family. Why? Because in my opinion, what happened after he died became the frame of reference of understanding him. What do I mean? What happened after he died allows us to understand who he was. Allows us to understand who maintained his legacy. Allows us to understand how the different currents of Islam developed. There is a reason people say it was Saqifa that led to Karbala. Because what took place after he died opened the door for a certain current to emerge. Yazid and Muawiyah would not have done what they did to Al-Muhammad had they seen the examples being set before them. Who would have had a jura'ah to attack the holy household if this wasn't something that was set in precedence beforehand? You think that the son of Hind and the grandson of Hind would have had that animosity and that freedom to do what he did? Unless he had seen that someone before him had done that to the mother of Hassan and Hussein. And that's why you find when you come towards the discussion of this area, for us, Fatima al-Zahra is not just an Arab personality or a female in Medina. For us, the axis of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi was embodied in Fatima. The knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. And the spirituality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. And the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. When he says, Fatima is a part of me. Do you know how huge that line is? That means when you touch Fatima, you're touching me. If you slap Fatima, you slap me. You kick Fatima, you've kicked me. For us, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam has a mystical position. She is the very base of the religion of Islam. It wouldn't have grown without her mother giving everything that she gave. And that's the legacy that she had. And you see that her legacy continues for us as Shia, not just in her lifetime, This is the beauty of the Shi'i conception of Fatima. This is why we can't wait to watch a depiction of what's happened to Fatima, for we owe so much back to Fatima alayhi salam. Not just during her lifetime is she a blessing, but for us as Shia, we believe that even after she's passed away, she's still part of our lives. I ask all of you, how many of you have been in a difficult moment and you said, Ya Allah, in the name of Fatima, help me. Ya Allah, I ask you in the name of Fatima. We say this, why? Because we beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the name of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. For which reason? Because we believe that Fatima is very much with us. We believe that there isn't just a body in Medina. Rather, we believe that Fatima al-Zahra is very much amongst us. Even Ahl Muhammad salawatullah wa salamu alayhim, if they met someone and they would say to that person, they would say to him, tell me, what's your daughter's name? Everyone who is watching, if you have a daughter called Fatima, or you have a daughter called Zahra, or you have a daughter called Siddiqa, or you have a daughter called Muhaditha, or you have a daughter, for example, with all the titles of Fatima and Zahra alayhi salam, you'd find someone like Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam would look at somebody and he'd say to him that, what's your daughter's name? And he'd say, Fatima. Imam would sit on the ground. And then at that moment, not just would he sit on the ground, he'd say, don't ever hurt Fatima, your daughter, because we remember what happened to our grandmother, Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullah wa salam alayha. But part of the reason that we also love her so much is because we believe that when we remember her family members, she's amongst us sitting. I ask for your permission, my grandmother, that when I recite the masaib, I ask for your permission, my grandmother, if you're sitting amongst us, forgive me that I may be sitting in a seat higher than you. Forgive those who are sitting in the majlis whose feet may be sticking out towards you. Forgive those who inadvertently may come and accidentally bump into you. We believe that she's part of our majalis. She is amongst us. And one of the person who mentioned this beautifully was a person whose name was the servant of Zahra. Many of us would have heard of who? Abd al-Zahra al-Ka'bi. He was one of the greatest reciters of majalis al-Husayn. He would recite the maqtal of Imam al-Husayn. His maqtal is still the standard maqtal which people copy in remembering the tragedy of Karbala. Look at his name, Abd al-Zahra. What an honor to be called the servant of Zahra alayhi salam. He was born, they say, on the day she was born, and he died on the day that she died. He had an unbelievable relationship with her. And he highlighted to us just how our relationship should be with her. He's the one who has this famous line about how a mother feels for her son. You mention Aba Abdullah anywhere, you'll know that Fatima is amongst you. Those of you who are in front of me, those of you wherever you may be, the mention of Imam al-Husayn, know that his mother is amongst the crowd. He says that I finished the maqtal of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. He said, when I finished the maqtal of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, he says, I came off the mambar, I was really tired. And Abd al-Zahra al-Ka'bi's maqtal is not a short one, my dear brothers and sisters. He said, I came down, I was walking towards my house, someone came to me. He said, Sheikh Neg, may I ask you something? He said, what is it? He said, can you come and recite masaib for us? I looked towards the man. The man's face was radiating. I had never seen the man before in my life. He said that the moment I looked towards him, I said to him, oh man, I'm tired, I've just finished the maqtal. He said, the man looked at me and said to me, I ask you in the name of the broken rib, Allahu Akbar, I ask you in the name of the broken rib of Fatima al-Zahra, recite the musibah for us. There's a group of us sitting. He said, wallah, I walked into that room I saw these people who were sitting down. Their faces were radiating like the moon. Some of them were wearing turbans. I looked towards them. I began my majlis. He said, it was that moment when I recited this line. Many of you have heard it. أنا الوالدة والقلب لهفان ودور عزبني وين ما Chan. He said, this line came to me. I hadn't even thought about it. He said, the line came to me, and it's a line I said for the first time in this majlis. And what was the line? I'm the mother. This is for all your mothers out there, for all the mothers out there, those who love their sons and agonize over their sons. I'm the mother. And al-wa'alda wal-galab lahfan wa-dawar azabni wain ma-chan. I'm the mother. I'm the mother whose heart is broken, and I look for the congregation and the grief of my son wherever it may be. Weli, weli ala ibni al-mat adshan. Woe, woe be to me over my son who died thirsty. جالت على جسم الخيل ميدان. And the horses trampled all over his body like a playing field. He said, the moment I said the lines, أنا الوالد والقلب لهفان ودور عزبني وين ما جان. He said, when I said those lines, I heard a cry in the back. Wa walada, wa walada, wa walada. Oh my son, oh my son, oh my son. He said, I never knew who it was who said that. He said, when I finished the majlis, I came down. The man who invited me came up to me and said to me, Sheikhna, thank you so much for your recital. Sheikhna, do you see all these men are sitting on the side? He said, yes. He said, these are the grandsons of Rasulullah. He said, Sheikhna, Sheikhna, did you hear the cry? Wa walada. He said, yes. He said, that was our mother Fatima. Now listen to this line. Sheikh Abdul Zahran al-Kami said, I looked towards him and I said to him, oh man, and who are you? He said to me, I am Habib, the son of Mudahir in your majlis. Imagine Habib sitting in your majlis. But just because he mentioned the feelings of the mother towards her son, any mother agonizes over her son. When her son's not with her, she wonders, will he come home safely? Where is he? Is he safe? Is he okay? I hope he's not in pain. Imagine then what she felt knowing that the young Hussein one day would be alone in Karbala. That's why I'm not surprised when Imam al-Hussein walked out onto the battlefield, he heard a cry. Mahlan, mahlan, ya ibn al-Zahra. Wait, oh, wait, oh, son of Zahra. It was his sister Zainab with an amana from her mother Fatima. The mother's feelings continued. She knew that one day Imam al-Hussein wouldn't just be alone in Karbala. Knowing your son's alone brings a lot of pain, but knowing that your son's chest may be a playing field for the horses of Umar bin Sa'd is something else. That's why the narration mentions that when he lay on the ground and the arrows were all over his body, his sister Zainab came towards the tellers. Zainabi, all of you take your heart towards there. When she came, she wondered, I see my brother, he's on the ground. I don't know if he's dead. I don't know if he's alive. How will I know? She was waiting for him to reply. She wondered, in which way will he answer me so I know if he's dead or if he's alive? I ask you in the name of your grandfather Rasulullah, tell me if you are alive. No response. The poet continues, I ask you in the name of your father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, tell me if you're alive. Again, no reply. In the name, in
the name of your brother Hassan al-Mujtaba, tell me about Abdullah if you're still alive. Again, no reply. Then she knew, there's one line, he'll definitely reply. In the name of your oppressed mother Fatima, in the name of the rib of your mother Fatima, reply to me if you're still alive. And that moment he turned around and looked towards his sister Zainab.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
Ya Allah, raise us with Muhammad and Al Muhammad. Raise us with the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asri wa Zaman. The originators of this majlis, Ya Allah, allow them to continue in their service of Muhammad and Al Muhammad. May Allah bless the soul of Al-Hajj Ghulam Ratansi, who recently passed away. We have a dear brother, 8 years of age, by the name of Ammar, who is going through intense surgery. His family have asked for dua. I ask in the name of the broken rib of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, and in the name of the one who was ill at Karbala, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Altogether, wherever you may be, I know this is the period of COVID, many are in their houses, ask in the name of Fatima, ask for those of your family members who are facing difficulties. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us and bless us with the intercession of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Ya Allah, give us the strength to complete these 5 nights of majalis. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the Surah Al-Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of your salawat to welcome Mullah Ali Fadil.